Hey everyone, thanks for listening in. I'm Carmen, the creator of MakeGirlSense.com, a personal finance blog dedicated to teaching you all about the do's and don'ts of personal finance with a little humor on the side. And today I have a very special treat for you guys. This is my first ever recorded interview for the blog, and I'll be chatting with my good friends Leo Chan and Alicia Mira of LevitateStyle.com. Now, Levitate Style is a men's style and travel blog based here in NYC, and they've been featured in major magazines like GQ and Men's Health. And they've also worked with big brands like Hugo Boss, Audi, and Macy's, just to name a few. But to top it all off, in the past 3 years alone, they've been able to travel to over 40 different countries. 40 different countries. All while, get this, 3 years ago, they quit their day jobs to run LevitateStyle.com full-time. So if you are interested in a serious side hustle, the fashion industry, want to create a blog, don't know what to do, want some inspiration, want a career change, or want to know more about an awesome career, this is the interview that you need to tune in for. So without further ado, here's my interview with Leo Chan and Alicia Mira of LevitateStyle.com. All right, so Leo and Alicia, how old are you guys? Tell us a little bit about yourselves.
Yeah, so hey everybody, my name is Leo Chan. I am 28. I'm from Hong Kong originally, so immigrant here. I moved to New York City when I was 10 with my family. And yeah, I've grew up here ever since. And then in college, I actually studied accounting. And right out of college, I worked in finance. I was working at Morgan Stanley, and that's where I met Carmen.
Bam.
And then
that's where all the magic happened, where we became besties.
Exactly. And then I was working at Barclays for another 1.5 years, and that's when I started my blog. And that's the end of my financial career.
And Alicia, what's your background? Like, give us the 411.
All right. Hi, this is Alicia. I am 26.
Oh, I didn't know
which
that.
Which is weird. Yeah. My birthday was not that long ago, so I keep getting confused. I'm originally from Buffalo. I studied international studies and music as majors, and I minored in Chinese, and I worked in refugee resettlement. And when we moved to New York City, I started working in supply chain management and human rights.
So safe to say, no one here did anything in fashion.
Or marketing.
No.
Or marketing.
Not at all.
No, that's where the whole thing, it's just like, oh, let's get into fashion and like figure this out.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it was something, well, with Levitate Style, is a men's style and travel blog. The whole thing kind of started because I've always had interest in fashion. And I think Carmen was just saying that, like, you know, she kind of saw me dressing really nice to work.
Yeah, I would always see. So just a side note, when me and Leo were working together, before I knew Leo, I had just started, and I would always see this guy come in just, like, dressed head to toe in, like, the nicest suits and just, like...
You gotta be ready.
Gotta be ready
for the promotion.
Yeah, it's like, this guy has got to do something else. And I was like, I gotta get to know him, but he was like super quiet. I don't know if you knew that, Alicia, but he was really quiet at work. He didn't really talk to many people. And then like I started to get to know him, and he's like, yeah, I kind of do modeling on the side, like all modest. And I was like, I knew it. And I knew it. As soon as he said that, I was like, I knew it. So that by way of like having any experience in this industry, like modeling was kind of the only toe that you had.
Well, I actually started, like, I've always done photography. I've been doing photography as a hobby since I was in high school.
Self-taught?
Yeah, self-taught. I mean, I think that's the great thing about technology and the internet today. You literally just can just Google everything and learn everything. And that's the beauty of photography. For me, so I've been doing photography for like 10 years at that point, and then... out of college, even as a side hustle, when I was working at the bank, I was doing events photography on the side. I was started doing portraits, photography. And then, I went to like this small fashion week event, and they were like, why don't you model? And so I was like, oh, I never, ever thought of
never thought
that. And so, that's how I kind of then went from photography into modeling, and then at that point, I started doing both as a side hustle.
Okay. Okay, so tell me, you guys, tell me, like, so you both don't have backgrounds mm-hmm. in fashion mm-hmm. for the most part, but super creative. I know both you guys as individuals, obviously, mm-hmm. and I think, like, you both are very, very creative. So, like, where did the idea come from? Like, how did this all transition or transpire from, like, one day you're sitting at a desk and it's just like, oh, let me start a blog? Or, like, how did this come about?
So I think it was definitely, like, over a period of time. So it kind of came out of, like, Leah was doing more modeling in when we were in New York City, but we kept finding that, like, when you're a model, you're not choosing how you're dressing. And so sometimes he would think, like, this is not a good look. Yeah. I would never want to rock this look.
Yeah.
And then I, like, there's a lot more girl bloggers that are out there. So, like, I had been following girl bloggers, but I didn't know that there's, like, any guy bloggers, really.
Okay.
So it's kind of a transition of, like, I was like, hey, wait a minute, like, there's these girl bloggers, and also, like, I was getting bored at work, and I was trying to teach myself, website development, so I was interested in, like, creating a website. And he was interested in starting more of a blog, right?
Yeah, I think for all the listeners out there, to get very technical with Levite style and fashion blog, or even any kind of blog out there, at the end of the day, it's about a business and it's a market fit. And so, I kid you not, when Alicia was using Instagram, before I started using Instagram, I was like, what is this thing? I'm not even going to use it. I'm just going to stick to Facebook. I was a total Instagram hater.
Wow.
And I was just like, why would I post this photo twice on two social media platforms? But then I started to take notice. And, you know, what she was saying about fashion blogging was very true, that we looked at the market overall, and it was 90% of the market was female bloggers. Oh, and so wow. You kind of looked at the 10% of the menswear, 10% of the guys are doing this. And so I started taking notice, and I kind of noticed that maybe there's a fit for me. So that's the market fit. And I noticed that there wasn't an Asian guy representing the industry, the market, in the
good
fashion.
Good-looking Asian guy.
and there were some that's been around for a while, but they were more on the vintage, on the street style side. And so for me, coming from a finance background where I'm wearing suits all the time, and I also had interest in, like, high fashion, so it was kind of like in a way for me to get in. And that's where we saw the market fit, mm-hmm. and we kind of went from there.
So let me ask you guys this then, with that, so you, the ideas came together, and it's like, yeah, this is a good idea. Like, did you start off with the expectation of, like, growing it or potentially making this your full-time job one day? Or was it just kind of like, I want to become better at building websites, so let's try this as a project. I know we could potentially make some money off of it, so it was like, oh, it's a side hustle. Or, like, what were the thoughts behind that? So did you start the blog with the intention of, like, we're going to grow this and it's going to be a business one day for us and go from there? Or you were just mm-hmm. like, oh, let's just use our creative talents?
Yeah, so, I mean, right off the bat, there were definitely high expectations. And I think with business in general, you want to model your business after some of the giants. So, you know, you want to work off of something. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, there's a reason why they're successful and they've paved the way. And so there were some really, really big Instagram accounts that I was like, wow, like I want to be that big. Like, and at that time, they have like 1 million followers, and that was always like my goal, 1 million followers right off the bat. But that like hit us hard real quick. Like, reality just set in so quick that like it takes time. It's yeah. not, I mean, like, you know, influencer is still new to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Social media space still new to a lot of people. And so like, overnight celebrity is like a viral. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's just really, it's not, you can't just,
aim can't for count it. On it. Yeah. They say that overnight success is 10 years in the making, generally on average.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what we see is like, oh, that person just became like real big overnight. Yeah. No, they've been doing this since they were 3 years old.
And so like, I'm, you know, we're looking at some of these top menswear accounts. We're like, oh, you know, this is what we want it to be. This is, you know, this is what we want it to be. We want it to be this big. Mm-hmm. But even then, there was no real money backing it. Like, sure, I wanted 1 million followers. I wanted to have that influence. Yeah. You know, really that influence to impact people. And especially, like I said, with, like, represent Asian community in mm-hmm. the fashion world. Changing that perspective. But in terms of money, we didn't really know how much money these bloggers were making mm-hmm. until I met bloggers in person, and mm-hmm. we network and we connect and to know more about the ins and outs of the industry.
And then we realized, like, wow, we can make money off of this, so maybe we got something here.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. so, like, and I think, like, part of what makes blogging so magical, and I was gonna say, like, magic, like the magic of it is that, like, at the end of the day, this is your personal passion.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, it's like, if I wasn't even making money off of it, you should still be doing it.
Want to do it, right?
Maybe not post once a day, twice a day, three times a day. Mm-hmm. Maybe not as often, but you're still going to create because you love, you know, what parts of mm-hmm. yeah, so you love like the fashion, you mm-hmm. love showing this and that. And so like I think that's where you want to head, you know, you want to mm-hmm. have that passion and like work towards it.
And we also loved the hustle of it, too. So we were happy starting it with, like, no prospect of any income.
Gotcha.
Just to have something to do together, yeah. like, creating something. So, yeah, we weren't
that wasn't the initial thought. Oh, right.
I think it's just so exciting. Like, you're essentially escaping your, you know, your everybody's normal 9-to-5 job. Right. And you have, like, cool things that you can do after work.
On the outside,
and
then, yeah.
In a way, it's like, you know, from the outside, you look at the fashion industry specifically, you know, it seems like a very closed off, you can't sit with us kind of, you know,
yeah.
industry. And I think, like, being in New York City, being able to network and connect, you know, it just kind of, you know, it's just really cool to have that finance job 9-to-5 and be able to go into a fashion industry.
Something completely just, different. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And so to network with different people that way was just really cool.
Yeah. And I remember you kind of, you know, when it was getting to the point where it's kind of like, all right, well, we're doing this and it's like growing, you know, like, I remember you specifically telling me, you know, like, Carmen, I'm really creative. Like, I'm more creative than what this job allows me to do.
But just so, no creativity.
Yeah, there's just no creativity. No.
Yeah.
So it, I definitely, that's awesome that you guys didn't even look at this as, like, mm-hmm. oh, an opportunity to make money. But that has now just become a byproduct of what you just love to do, which is super interesting to
me. And, I mean, like, even though we had the photography, the modeling background, and then, you know, the passion for it, it was still such a big learning process.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
The fact, like, how do you even make a blog?
Yeah.
How do you, you know, HTML?
Mm-hmm.
How do you email brands? How do you get mm-hmm. invited to shows? How do you convert what you're creating into paid, you know, services?
Yeah.
So, like, part of the fun was that we had to learn all these new things.
It was
like,
challenging.
How can we learn about marketing? How can we learn about communications? Yeah. How can we learn how to take better photos? Mm-hmm. How can we learn how to do this and this?
Yeah.
So you're like all these like little side classes outside of work, outside mm-hmm. of your 9-to-5. It's just,
I think even
expanding,
like
looking
back in like the photography is like, it's, you know, I think that's something with creators. It's never going to be perfect. And I think if you're trying your best, if you're doing your best right now, then it is your best. Because there's, like, we've looked at photos a year, 2 years past, and mm-hmm. it's like, wow.
Huge difference.
Why did I think that was okay? Why did I think that was good?
Right.
But at the time, that was our best.
This is awesome.
And I think it's great that, like, you're constantly improving.
Yeah.
And I'm constantly looking for ways to improve and not settling for good enough mm-hmm. or, of course, like, this might be good enough for the campaign.
Right.
But as creator ourselves, how can I do a better job? Like, I want to do something new. I want to do something different. I want to do something even better. And that's where, you know, I think influencers and content creator are kind of rising in that way.
Okay, I see. All right. So I just want to quickly go back to where you had said, like, you know, you were kind of looking to escape the 9 to 5. Mm-hmm. And, like, I guess for all the listeners and readers, more so readers now, listeners, tell me about that transition. Like, can you give me a breakdown of the timeline from, you know, when you guys first launched the blog, mm-hmm. to now being able to go from, you know, working in a cube, working 9 to 5, to making a salary and making mm-hmm. a living and both doing this full time?
Yeah, so Levitate Styles officially started October 2014. Mm-hmm. So it's been over 3 years. Whoa. Now.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Bust out the champagne.
It's kind of crazy to think about. So yeah, at the time, most of my day, like, you know, you get up, you know, 7 or 8, you go to work, you got to work at like 6. So like, you know, 9 to 6, you're stuck in the office. And granted, I mean, it was a great paying job. Nothing wrong with that. And like, and I think, and then, so then after that, a typical, and that's always a hard question to answer, because people always ask, what is like your typical day?
Yeah.
And I think with blogging and with this industry, is it really varies every day, every night. And so, but I'll say typically we have a few days where after work, we will go to an event. And so after work, either I have to change up my look a little bit, or I will wear what I was wearing. And then we'll go to an event, could be, say, store event, and we go. We spend 2 hours meeting new people, reconnecting with people that we met, just chatting and taking in the space. And then we will get home, say 10 o'clock. And so then you kind of consider, like, am I working on anything? If I'm working on new photos, planning for tomorrow, and work on a blog post at night at 10 o'clock. And then you kind of go to bed at 1 and you start the day over. And so it was definitely a hustle. It was nonstop working, go to the event, work on the blog, sleep, repeat.
And how long was that happening? So you said you launched in 2014, and then mm-hmm. till when did that
so start I to think ship? We got our first paid campaign
6 months in.
Yeah.
And you guys were working still?
Yeah,
full-time.
Still working full-time. And we got our first paid Levitate style project about 6 or 7 months in. I thought mm-hmm. it was a bit longer, but maybe that's right. Mm-hmm. So like when we first start, it was just maybe getting some items for trade. And it was like, wow, this is so exciting. We got a free pair of socks.
Yeah.
Like, that's when we thought, like, we've made it. Yeah. We got a free pair of socks in the mail. This is amazing. We are just going places. Mm. So the transition was, like, working for free for trade. And then when we first started getting a paid project, like, that was very exciting. But still, like, we didn't have enough work to make it full-time yet. Like, it was still a small paid project here, a small paid project here. And that was over the course of, was that another year?
Yeah, but I think going back to that question, like, and then of like the hustling part. So like, you know, working 9 to 5, going to events, work on blog posts at night. On the weekend is when normally people are, all right, it's the weekend, I'm going to just watch TV, or I'm going to do this, I'm going to go brunch. But that's when we were like, this is prime time, showtime, we gotta go shoot, we gotta go, you know, take advantage of the time that we have to shoot new content and work on the blog, and plan for stuff. But officially, we started October 2014, and then we both quit our full-time jobs December of 2015.
Yes.
And that was, it's really crazy how much it has snowballed, like kind of had the snowball effect and like accelerated. And over the course of that year, that first year, to think back, I got connected with GQ. And so GQ has been a huge part in helping
build that momentum,
men's style bloggers mm-hmm. to grow. And so We met Pam. She was with GQ, and she does a lot with influencers. and she heard my story that, you know, I was working in finance and I'm doing this fashion thing, and she just thought like it was so refreshing, so different, because everybody else already comes from the fashion world. And so that kind of gave me like an advantage in a way.
Yeah.
You know, like the disadvantage that you thought might be could be your advantage.
Right, right.
So you just have to work your way around it. And so, yeah, within that first year, I got featured on the GQ website as like a GQ Insider of the Month. And then that June, we did a big magazine shoot with GQ. And I actually got featured in the magazine that September. So within that 1 year, it was just amazing. Like, I was able to make it into the magazine itself.
Right.
So that was like a huge deal.
While working full time.
Yeah. And so that was just crazy to think, like, beyond blogging, like, that was something, yeah, even as a photographer, as a model before, to be in the magazine.
GQ.
Like
GQ.
It's crazy.
It's very, very big.
And it really backs the whole idea of why we started, because, you know, like I said, I wanted to represent, part of the reason is like I wanted to represent Asian community,
right.
And there I am, the only Asian in that issue.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. So then going on that timeline, December 2015, we both quit full time because we had this opportunity to travel the world for 5 months. It's just crazy, like, to, like, even think about that. And that's still, to me, one of the biggest influencer campaigns I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Across the board, out of anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were working with Plymouth Gin to create content for them on a cruise that traveled around the world for 5 months.
And that's how they approached you and said, hey, we have an opportunity for you guys. You can travel for 5 months, promote content, do all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys were like, cool, let's quit our jobs. Like, how did
I mean,
that
yeah.
work?
Yeah, I mean, like,
as soon as we heard that they wanted us and, like, accepted us and, like, okay, we've got it, we were like, we will, there's no better reason to quit your job than to travel for free for
right.
5 months around the world. It's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we were both very much on the same page of, if we need to get jobs when we come back, we'll get new jobs when we come back.
Yeah,
but
we'll make
how
it
could we possibly ever turn down this opportunity? Because it's insane.
Yeah.
Like, we have to say yes.
So did you guys save money? Like, how did the perfect storm get created? Like, did you get comfortable enough to be able to quit because you had money saved? Or it's like, oh, we're going to be on a cruise for 5 months for free. So.
It's funny because, like, I don't think we've ever had this kind of story on tape or like in video anywhere.
That's true.
Like, we might have just mentioned it in Insta stories or things like that, or like just friends and family. But basically, kid you not, like, I remember this like it was yesterday. It was Thanksgiving break and we were in Buffalo with Alicia, and I told her, oh, hey, there's this opportunity, and I just applied for it. And she's like, what? I was like, don't worry, we'll see, you never know.
Yeah.
Like, and the thing that I learned over the years that it doesn't hurt to apply. It doesn't hurt to, like, try, right? Because the worst of it is no, and you know, you don't get accepted. And so I think that's the same thing with job interviews, with opportunities. And this one, I was just like, why not? So.
But it's just funny because when he told me he applied, I was just so surprised that he went and applied for something so big and, like, forgot to mention it.
Didn't.
I was like, I just have a feeling, like, we're going to get it. But, like, you didn't prepare me for this.
Like, Leo, I think Leo's thought process is like, oh, we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Yeah.
Well, for me, is that, like, I'll apply for the opportunity. And I don't just assume I'm going to get it. But we have a good track record because, you know, I think opportunity, and I think there's one of those sayings, that, like, opportunity is when your preparation is ready for the timing. And so, like, the work that we've been doing with travel and menswear content prepared us for this opportunity, and it just kind of was the perfect timing for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so the months leading up to this, I was already kind of considering, like, oh, maybe should I quit because I'm getting some paywork. But if I quit, I can do this full time, then I will have all my time to do it. And then mid-December is when everything was confirmed. We had the contracts worked out. And I told my boss, hey, I'm giving in my 2 weeks. I'm going to do this thing where I travel the world for 5 months. And he was just like, I don't blame you. I mean, I would too.
Oh, he took it that well. I think he took it very well.
I think he kind of noticed that I was getting. And he said it. He was like, you know, I kind of noticed you've been getting a little more distracted. And I think like doing this marketing thing. Like he didn't really understand what I was doing.
Yeah.
He was just like, I definitely is more your realm, and you seem to be more interested in that. And you know, and that was putting my 2 weeks, and our last day was kind of perfect. and then like my last day, it was just perfect because it was New Year's Eve. So it was kind of perfect. I wanted to end the New Year's Eve, start the new year fresh. Mm-hmm. And then that was just like the craziest 10 days before we started the cruise. We mm-hmm. had to essentially pack up 4 suitcases, mm-hmm. and then we had to pack away a lot of our stuff so that the apartment we can sublet it for the 5 months we were away. And we had to get 3 visas in like a week. And mm-hmm. that was just crazy.
So essentially, by the time the contract was approved, we had like 3 weeks total to get ready to leave for 5 months.
Leave your life behind for 5 months. So that included like
closing up the job, quitting, and then having like a few days after that to make sure all the visas are good to get on the plane and leave. And when we came back with the idea that Leo will work on Levitate full time to see how Levitate style will go. Because we weren't sure when we came back, like what would happen if we were gone for too long or something. But I went back to work part time at the place that I left before.
they took me back because
they didn't even fill my position. They're like, yes, please come back.
Well, that says something about you. Yeah. That's a good thing.
So then I was doing that, and then I got connected with an old manager who does consulting, and so she brought me remote consulting opportunities. So that was more helpful for the blog because I was just able to start working from home.
Got it. So, I mean, with that, it's a great transition into, you know, Levitate style, the blog and the business. And mm-hmm. you guys just, you know, rattle off some things that you remember from starting out in October of 2014 till mm-hmm. like today. Like, you know, Leo, did you open the Instagram account? Alicia, did you? Like, how many followers? How did that happen? Did it start very quickly? Or did you see a year in, then it just hit a spike? Like, how did that growth start? And what's your main platform? Like, how much traffic do you guys see? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. just throw it out. Whatever you got, whatever comes to mind.
Yeah, I think Instagram for us is the biggest platform. And I think that's, mm-hmm. you know, because with the content is very photo and now video based. And so that is our bread and butter. Mm-hmm. I feel like our biggest growth was definitely the last 2 years.
Okay.
And I think the upcoming year, Instagram has definitely slowed down. And I think... Mm-hmm. You know, there's definitely a few factors. Like, number one, like, Instagram itself, the algorithm has changed.
Mm-hmm.
Two, I think the market isn't what it used to be, even just in the span of 3 years. You know, from maybe like a handful of menswear bloggers, there is hundreds now. Jeez. There's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's still 10% of the market, you know. As a whole, everyone is getting into blogging. Everyone is growing. Mm-hmm. And so for us, it's Instagram. But I noticed that Instagram has been pushing video more. So we're trying to adapt to that. And I think, you know, as content creator, you're supposed to. You have mm-hmm. to see what's happening. And so we've been doing more video work. And we've been putting out more content on YouTube as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And how much traffic do you guys see to the blog?
The traffic to the blog is definitely not as much as the traffic to the Instagram.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I think on average, we might get about 3,000 to 5,000 users a month on the site.
Mm-hmm.
Depending, and it also depends on how much we're posting. We found that since Instagram has become where we're creating the most content, that's where most of our work is.
And so we're not,
where our focus is. So if we only post like once on the blog for the month, that's pretty, I mean, we're not getting as much views.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, essentially as Instagram has been growing and mm-hmm. more important in our scope, the blog post has gone down. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of our focus has been putting out daily Instagram mm-hmm. content versus, you know, that much effort on the blog.
On the blog.
In the past.
Mm-hmm. It's such an interesting, like, spin, because, like you said, you guys are just adapting, mm-hmm. seeing mm-hmm. where the market's going mm-hmm. and where the focus is and what's best suited yeah. for your market.
And also, now we've been putting a lot of focus on YouTube
yeah.
in terms
yeah.
of adapting. So now YouTube is more important to us than
oh, wow.
making sure we're doing postings on the blog.
Yeah, like, the goal is to be 50-50 photos and video for this year. Mm-hmm. And it was a goal that we tried last year, but it's a lot of work. You know, it feels like essentially starting from day one, kind of like starting from this, you know, from scratch again, learning video, how to shoot it, what equipment to use, how to edit the videos, how to promote the videos. And so it's been a process from mm-hmm. last year, but, you know, we've definitely already see a lot of growth
payoff, yeah.
yeah, a lot of payoff mm-hmm. from that as well.
Okay. And with all of these hours, let me ask you guys this. Mm-hmm. All the hours and time and effort that you put into building Levitate to where it is today, what mm-hmm. has been, I guess, the biggest moment for you or the most pivotal moment in you guys' success? Like,
kind of thing. Well, I always have to say the World Cruise, even though, like, that wasn't a paid opportunity, and we weren't having so many paid opportunities before that
yeah.
happened. It was just, it was such a big pivotal part of Levitate Style and of our lives, in terms of, like, what made us go full-time, or, like, I want to say, like, believe in it, but just be like, wow, Levitate Style is, like, really something.
This is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. This is really, really something.
Is this the I made it moment, or when are we made it moment, but not the, like, free socks? Like,
yeah.
made it as in, like, yeah, this is a real thing.
Yeah. Like, we created awesome. Something
yeah.
that led up to an opportunity to do something like this.
Yeah.
Which was just something you couldn't ever imagine.
Yeah. I'll say, yeah, definitely the World Cruise is one.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the second one is whenever we get featured in GQ Magazine,
mm-hmm.
Men's Health Magazine,
yeah.
Different publications,
mm-hmm.
you know, that it says a lot to have something so prestigious in a way, you
yeah.
know, like they're so established to put somebody like me to be in their magazine. And then the same goes for brands. So we've been really blessed to work with some really big brands recently.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been working with brands like Hugo Boss and Audi,
mm-hmm.
and especially Audi, just because, you know, it's such a great fit. I'm such a big fan of their cars,
yeah.
and I love cars.
Mm-hmm.
And in turn, the brand really loved what we do. And so it's just nice to have that kind of relationship with brands to create for them. And then also to see them using your content
mm-hmm.
and your images, not just on our channels, but then they put on their channel.
Yeah.
To see
yeah.
that, like, wow, like, our work
Maybe.
Is that
yeah,
good.
You're like, wow.
To
like,
be on somebody else's channel.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a huge plus. And points like that is just, to me, like, really, really big, and kind of reestablish, like, what we're doing, like,
yeah.
this is big, like,
mm-hmm.
sometimes you kind of smack yourself, like, whoa, like, wow,
this is
awesome,
on the map.
Yeah,
yeah,
like, this is great,
and it's always, like, the next step, you never feel like you're gonna get there, and then when you get there, it's like, wow, and then something, like, even, like, bigger and better comes
yeah.
around.
We have
guys.
A lot of, like, celebratory dance
yeah.
breaks
yeah.
in
like,
the middle of the day, we're like, oh!
Yeah.
And it's just amazing that, like, when you think you made it, and then the next thing
right.
gets better,
yeah.
and
yeah.
it gets better, and
yeah.
it gets better.
You guys went from free socks to, like, now doing ads with... for anyone that's looking to start a blog, or maybe thinks that the market's too saturated and
mm-hmm.
might feel discouraged, or they don't think their idea is good enough, or even just trying to change careers, because you both did that.
Mm-hmm.
What advice would you offer people? Like, what are some of the, what does it take to be successful?
Mm-hmm.
So
I get this question asked a lot, especially like DMs in
mm-hmm.
Instagram. And I always say, there's like a few points. So one, I think you have to find your market fit. And so at the end of the day, it's about audience, about what you have to offer and how you can do it differently. Especially if the market is really saturated,
mm-hmm.
you know, you want to find how you can offer something different. And then the second point is, when you're creating this content, is quality over quantity. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then once you're ready, quantity of quality. And so, like, keep them coming. And so mm-hmm. once you, you know, focus on creating great, great quality first, and once that's ready, you just have to keep, mm-hmm. you know, keep it coming. More quality. Yeah, and so, yeah, consistently, more quality. And I think that's kind of like the main points of how to grow the blog big. Mm-hmm.
And I just think that it has to be something you're really passionate about. It can't be that you've decided, like, hey, that looks cool, I'll become a fashion blogger. Yeah. But if you don't really care about fashion, then you're not going to have the passion and the drive to put any work to getting to there. Yeah. Like, you're going to get tired, and it's going to feel like work.
Right, right.
Even if, like, the idea you have of it is not the reality of it.
Yeah.
But if it's something you really love, the hustle doesn't feel so bad.
Right, yeah.
Like, from mm-hmm. the start, we know we wanted to bring something different to the table mm-hmm. with Levitate Style. We wanted to represent Asian community. Mm-hmm. We wanted to do this and that. And so, like, you know, if you want to start a blog, what is it that you're really passionate about? And, you know, you have to figure out your passion.
Yeah. Well, on that note, this has been awesome sitting with you guys. Yeah. This has definitely been, I think, a great first interview.
Yeah, it's great.
The first time I've ever recorded anything
exclusive.
But yeah, I definitely want to thank you guys again, and this was Leo and Alicia with levitatestyle.com. hit them up on Instagram. You guys want to give your handle out?
Well, mine is simple, it's Levitate Style.
I can give out my personal one, Alicia M. Mara, but you can find me on Levitate Style.
Yes, yeah. And make sure you guys go follow. If you like this interview, there should be more in the pipeline, so make sure you subscribe. And thanks for listening, guys.